Open your Bibles with me this morning to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Of course, you know, we had our stewardship month back in January, and it was the plan, I believe, that the Lord led us to. This would be the summation of our stewardship, and of course, the way things went, we weren't able to do that, and we were gone those 4 weeks and February, and came back the last Sunday of that month, and hopefully we're here to stay this time. Be careful. Keep your space, okay? Nobody is shaking hands and that kind of thing. And I want to encourage us to get back in the house of the Lord. Everybody, okay? Everybody. And so we're glad that you're watching there at home this morning, if that be the case. And, of course, those that are watching our live stream for the first time, or maybe it's not the first time, but you are, would like to invite you to come and visit our church sometime if you're physically able, but we're glad that you are there. This is the message, as I said, would kind of surmise our stewardship month. Here in Galatians chapter 5, I'm just going to read this one verse, and it's a very short one. Here, and I guess I better turn to the right book, and I'll be able to read the right verse. Galatians 5 and verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? May we pray. Father, thank you for this time to be in the house of the Lord. We're so thankful that we can. Lord, thank you for everyone that's here today. Thank you for those that are viewing, whether our members or others. We're grateful. As your word goes forth today, God, may it find lodgment in hearts, especially that person that's never trusted Christ. May this be the time, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, you would help them to see the urgency of this, and they would place their faith in Him. And then, Lord, encourage our people. We had a good stewardship month. We're grateful for that. But I just pray, Lord, now that we're want us to look at our lives and how are we running? What kind of race are we running? Are we doing what we need to do? Are we in your will, doing what you would have us to do? And Lord, before I close my prayer, I do want to pray for all of those that are sick today, and especially Paula, who's in the hospital. God, we pray for her. Pray for Shirley, her mom, who came home yesterday. Lord, give healing to her as well. And all those that's on our prayer bulletin, every one of them. And Lord, those that have upcoming surgeries, Lord, we pray for them. And they will be well. I believe Brother Abel's having surgery. I think it's in May. Miss Millie in April. And God just bless each one. And we're looking forward to all of these that have been out for so long and for good reason that soon we'll see them back here in the house of the Lord. Now, Father, bless us. We continue. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It's hard to describe, and I'm sure you can relate to this, how we feel when we did get saved, or when anyone comes to know the Lord as their Savior. It's just a blessing. Of course, these people's lives are changed. Truly converted person is there. We call it conversion, but also we refer to it as being born again, as it tells us in 1 Peter 1:23, getting saved, Romans 10 and verse 9. Justified, Romans 5:1. Glorified, Romans 8:30. He or she will be conformed to the image of God's Son, we're told in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. And is made a partaker of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. And of all of those, the last one that I pointed out here, you and I, when we come to know Christ, we're made partaker of divine nature. We're in this old flesh. This is how we were born. But then when we come to know Christ, we repent of our sins. It's hard to understand. It is for me how that when I trusted Christ, I became partaker of divine nature. divine nature, took part of the nature that God has given us in and through His Son. But do you remember, and Brother Shelton referred to this a little earlier, I think, do you remember when you got saved? Can you, and I'm going to say it again, can you take me to the place where you were saved? You can if you're saved. Now, well, you know, I don't remember this or that or the other, but I know I'm saved. No, you know where you were if you got saved. You can take me to the place. Maybe not, you know, within a foot, but at the exact place. I can take you to where I was saved. And you can if you know the Lord. Remember what a glorious day that was? Remember that? Boy, I do. When you got saved, you were transformed. And that goes along with being a new creature in Christ Jesus, okay? But I got to point this out as well. How sad it is when someone has been saved, or they profess they have, they turn back. As it's pointed out in Acts 7 and verse 39. Or the person backslides. Proverbs 14:14. Or becomes lukewarm. Revelation 3:16. Or they, as we're told in Revelation 2:4, they lose their first love. Not a good thing. What a tragedy it is to be seen, or be keen, I'm sorry, out and out for the Lord. And this is always down through the years. It just is so perplexing to see what I'm pointing out here. Just out and out for the Lord, going on soul winning and a good worker. Then all of a sudden, just as I call it, make a left turn away from the Lord. Hard to understand now. There are those that will see the error of their way and they'll turn and they'll come back to the Lord. And then there are those that have done that, they've never come back. Honestly, what I believe don't really make any difference, but I have a hard time believing they gave their hearts to Christ to start with. I really do. Just turn, go away, never anything else to do with the church. It's a real tragedy to see that happen. Now, as we read here in Galatians, the church had those in it that had done this very thing. And boy, Paul was troubled about it. They had been turned aside by false teachers in this particular instance, who had sought and succeeded in getting them into bondage again to the law. They were just listening to the wrong individuals, the wrong people, the wrong doctrine, weren't listening to the truth, and that'll happen. So from our text, the thought conveyed to us is that the Christian life, to further break it down, as you read in your Bible, it's a race. It's a race. The Apostle Paul used the metaphor in 1 Corinthians 9:24, illustrating that as it being a race. But notice here in our text, we can be hindered in this race. Now, we studied our stewardship. As I said, this was going to conclude it. As I look out here, I can see people that we've all been saved a different period of time. Those listening, yes, it's true with you as well, or those of you that are watching. But are you maturing? Are you growing in the Lord? You know, there's one thing that I found out through the years, and I've heard other Christians say as well, the older you get in the Lord, the more you mature, the more rooted and grounded you get in Christ, you see how wicked the world is. A Christian, I got to say this, and I'm doing it to help you, to warn you. Is your lifestyle different than the world's lifestyle? You have no desire to do what the Lord would have you to do. God's will is first and foremost in your life, but it doesn't really matter. Church attendance, of course, you're here today, but doesn't really matter. So anything and everything takes the place of being in the house of the Lord. When that happens, old Satan's right behind that most of the time, and he robs you of what you need. Now, let me just digress here for a second. You're looking at a man, and I'm saying this to help you to understand my burden. I spend time at my desk, and sometimes at home, I'll do some reading. And I ask God in my prayer time, now, even as I speak to you in the morning, first thing I'll do is get ready for the Sunday school class and get prepared to show it on the screen up here for Sunday school. And then I am asking God to lead me, to help me, and what message he'd have me to preach next Sunday. As you well know, sometimes preach a series on a particular subject, and we try to develop it. Only the Lord knows the burden that I have, but yet at the same time, it is such a blessing to prepare to present to you through the preaching of God's Word what I believe God would hear you at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. I used to do that Sunday night and still do it on Wednesday night. Preaching has always been a burden to me, not just a time to waste your time. It's always been a burden. And I believe God never leads me to preach a message, but what you need that message. And it is so important. Now, the prayer is, the burden is that as we hear the Word of God, we grow. We grow, we mature. We see, and through the preaching of God's Word and your reading of the Word of God, we can see how wicked and ungodly this world is. Thank God it's not our home. Amen. We're going to leave here one day. But some get hindered in the race. Let me ask the question in another form. Who or what? Listen closely. It's simple, but I want you to really get it, is what I'm saying. Who or what has gotten in your way of obeying? Who or what has got in your way of obeying God? You're going to have to be wise in the Lord. And, of course, he said he'd give us wisdom if we ask him. But you're going to have to be wise to see the approach of the wicked one. It's not something special for the preacher or the missionary or the evangelist. No, as we pray, you can see Satan approaching you in so many and various ways. To get your attention, to get your mind off of the things of the Lord, Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Christ didn't think about the world. He's thinking about the will of God the Father and his responsibility to go to the cross for you and me. But there's so many things that Satan uses to get our attention. And, he has a purpose behind it. It's not just something he does. There's a purpose. Now, with all of that said, I could say more, but I'm going to give you the main thoughts that I have here of some of the possible answers to this question. And that is, who or what thing has gotten in your way of obeying the Lord? Number one, were you hindered by the inconsistency of professing Christians? Someone you were looking to and you put a lot of faith in that individual, they were an example to you, and all of a sudden they did something that wasn't good, and boy, it disappointed you. Well, now, first of all, you've got your focus in the wrong place. Now, let me say something, and I mean this with all my heart. God-loving Christians, people that love God and live for the Lord, they're such a blessing to me. They are such a blessing. However, God's given me the wisdom to know they can disappoint me, and they can disappoint you. Got good news. Jesus never will. He never will. And it won't be easy. He didn't say it's going to be easy. But Jesus will lead us in the right way. But the people will let us down. In 1 Peter chapter 2, go there with me, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to look at verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Now notice what he tells us here. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, not the steps of someone else. Thank God for good, godly people and living for God, dedicated, sold out. Praise the Lord for that, but they can disappoint us, but Jesus won't and never will. We've got to be careful about that. Be careful in putting someone on a pedestal. By the grace of God, I have in my Christian life tried to be an example. I appreciate you and love you more than I'd ever be able to put in words. I would never intentionally disappoint you under no circumstance. But I can. I can. Let me repeat, by his grace, I won't, but I can. Jesus can't. Jesus can't. No, if I can't live the life that I preach, I need to sit down. Let somebody else do it. Be careful. We're warned about leaning on the arm of flesh. And let me say to every one of you that knows the Lord, for this reason, others, do your best by the grace of God to live for him. As a result of that, the fruit of that is being an example to someone else. You're being, and I've said it, I've pointed it out so many times, someone's watching you. You may never know it. You may leave this life and you never know it, but they're watching you. You're a blessing to them. You're an encouragement to them. So that in itself, Christian, and I'm speaking to others, that might not can be said about that individual, but why not get serious with the Lord? Realize that that's happening. And most important, Christ is watching your life, and so get serious about serving God. He was serious when he went to the cross, so why can't we stop playing around and being nonchalant about what we believe and do what we do for God in a serious way by his grace? We need to do that. Hebrews chapter 12, turn there with me. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but boy, is it effective in what I'm trying to present to you this morning in being good stewards. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12. And you'll recognize them if you read your Bible on a regular basis. I believe the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but that's neither here nor there. But he says here, the writer, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now notice what he says, Christian. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How are we going to do that? Verse 2 tells us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It is absolutely necessary, ladies and gentlemen, young people, to look off, that is, away from ourselves, our circumstances, and from other Christians, unto Jesus Christ himself. How urgent, how needful that is. You'll be disappointed as you look at other people, as I've said, but you'll never be disappointed as you look at him. In him and in him alone, we see, listen to me, absolute perfection. Now, we'll never attain that in this body, but he is. He's perfect. He cannot sin. He is God. Thank God for Jesus. Amen? Number two, maybe you were hindered in your running for the Lord, your race, by persecution, misunderstanding, or opposition. In John 16 and verse 33, go there with me. John 16, verse 33. Last verse of the chapter, John 16, verse 33. Here Jesus said, John 16, 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Now notice what he says. "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Praise the Lord for our Savior. Amen. Absolutely. There have been many that's accepted Christ and then have gone home to face misunderstanding, opposition, loved ones and friends that just gave them a hard time. But as you found out since you have become a Christian, or being a Christian, is not easy. God didn't say anywhere in His Word that it's easy to be a Christian and to serve Him. In Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12, there in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." But listen to what he says in verse 12. "But rejoice. But rejoice and be exceeding glad." Or he just says rejoice. "And be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Are you interested in that reward? There will be no pretenders there. There will be nobody that will fool Jesus. "For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Remember, Jesus was threatened with stones. John 8:59. "They put a crown of thorns upon his head." John 19:16. "They mocked him." Luke 23, verses 33 through 37. "And then they crucified him." John 19:16. Oh my, how he was persecuted. So shouldn't it be a great privilege for you and me to suffer with him if that need be, if we have to do that? Thirdly, were you hindered in your race for the Lord by some severe trial or sorrow? Now listen to me. I know that trials and tragedies in life are very real. I've seen families experience some of those. Several times. I don't know how many. But I've been at a loss of words as to what to say. But God's always good. The Holy Spirit's good to give us what we need to try to comfort people when they're distraught, they're upset, they're... they feel like the world's fallen from under them. But God is good. In Hebrews 12 and verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." You realize this? That all through our lives, the Lord is chastening you and me. All through our life. Not just once, not twice, all through our life, He is chastening us. He has a way, loving way, compassionate way of getting our attention. And we need to listen. When things are not just going your way, this happens or that happens, and boy, you're let down, you're discouraged. Have you ever thought about, "The Lord's trying to tell me something"? Could be. I won't say everything that happens, God may not have anything to do with it. But it happened. But I'll say this, if you're not doing what you need to do for the Lord, you'll think about it when it happens. Could it be? Whether I'm certain it is or not, I need to dig in. I just need to keep doing what the Lord wants me to do. All through our Christian life, as I said, He's chastening us. What about that word chastening? Chastening. You know what the word means? You look it up in the Greek concordance, especially, I don't know if it says this in the Webster's or not, but chastening is child training. Child training. We had a dad, and I attribute my dad being a disciplinarian as to reason that I'll speak for myself, because my brother's retired now. Can you imagine these two little old tow-headed, bibbed overall wearing boys called out of the country to preach the Word of God? Boy, God's good. God is, He's gracious. Well, boy, we went through some child training when we were growing up. You see, folks, listen closely. He allows all sorts of testings and trials to come our way to cause us to look to Him. To look to Him. Psalm 55, verse 22, that we may be refined, we're told in Malachi chapter 3, verse 3, and that our faith may be deepened or deeper rooted, 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. God knows how to do that. From a moment we're saved, as I said a moment ago, we're being trained. Everything that happens in our lives to help us to grow, we trust Him and we go forward. Now here's one. And I mentioned, I think, something about a moment ago. Were you hindered or are you hindered by the pull of the world? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you. We're just here temporarily. We're just here a while. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Jesus says that. I'm sorry, it's in 1 John 2:15. But he teaches the same thing, especially there in the Gospel of John. You see, it's not possible to love the Lord Jesus and to love the world at the same time. Let's go to this verse found in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6 and verse 24. You know it. Most of us do. We're familiar with what Jesus says here. He says right up front, He says, no man can serve two masters. Now listen to this, Christian. Look at it. Think about it. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And then look what he says as he concludes the verse. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, you can't serve God and man too. You got to choose. Got to choose. And folks, this is not even in my notes. Don't you listen to me? Did you know that God has blessings for you down the road? And I've said it before. Why would God bless a disobedient child? Why would He do that? He's not going to. And this problem here, you can't serve God and mammon. If you remember, this was Demas' problem found in 2 Timothy 4:10. And the Apostle Peter, this led to his sad threefold denial of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 22. Three times. Not just once or twice, but three times. And Jesus told him he was going to. And he did. Or isn't God good and loving? He forgave him. He wrote 2 epistles in the New Testament. Now here's one I believe will get our attention. I trust all of them have. But fifthly, were you hindered and got out of the race and not effective for the Lord? Were you hindered by neglect of fellowship with the Lord? Do you have fellowship with the Lord at home? Or is the old TV taking all the time? Or something hinders? Something hinders. In John 15:4, the word abide there, and he uses it several times, it means to stay put. Stay put. Let me ask you, anyone lift their hands? I'm going to ask a preacher, though. You believe you're in the will of God, don't you? Do you believe without a shadow of a doubt in your heart and mind that you are in the will of God right now? Now think with me. Are you in the will of God? There's no sweeter place on this earth than that. Brings contentment, doesn't it? Brings satisfaction. Abide means, as I said, stay put. Now, they failed to do this. They have failed to pray. Matthew 6:6. Failed to read the Bible. I'm talking about fellowship with the Lord now. 2 Timothy 3:15-17, to faithfully and regularly go to church. Go to church. Now, while I'm right there, church family, I'm begging you to get back in the house of God. You can use any excuse that you want to, but do you go to Walmart? Do you go to the grocery store and other places that you want to go? Stop using this if you are as an excuse to stay out of the house of God. You're missing God's blessings. You're missing out on what God wants to teach you. And a devil is a wise master at deceiving people. Now, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you're sick, you feel like you may be getting this stuff, stay at home. Stay at home. I don't want it. Thank God, by His grace, I've escaped it so far. And in my wife's condition, oh God, I pray I don't get it. May God help us. But listen, and if you think you need to, your health requires it, I'm not telling you what to do. But your preacher is telling you what God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together in the manner some is, but exhort, encourage one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. When we stand before God, He's going to know whether we were pretending or not, or using it as an excuse not to go to the house of God. I'm serious about this matter. And I hope you are, and I hope you'll listen. Get back in church. Health problems, like I said, I understand. But ultimately, it's your decision. But your pastor's going to encourage you to go to the house of God. If you're sick, I don't want what you have. Am I making just good common sense to you this morning? Trust God. Just trust the Lord. And do what He says do. It's hard to go wrong and get in trouble when you do what God says do. Don't be content to remain a spiritual baby with all the marks of immaturity about you. Don't do that. Then, let me give you this, and we're finished. One more. Were you hindered your continued walk with God with some willful act of disobedience? By the way, folks, we know when we're disobeying God. As a boy, as a young child at home, I knew when I was disobeying what my daddy said. And when I read the Word of God, I read about it, and I know about God's will and what I'm supposed to do. And when I do the opposite, I'm out of the will of God. I'm being disobedient. Jeremiah 26:13. Listen to what he says. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Read it again. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Let me say lovingly and sincerely, it is of little use thinking about it, talking about it, or even praying about it unless you actually amend your ways and obey the voice of the Lord. Simple, isn't it? In other words, there must be some drastic dealing with anything and everything that is wrong in our lives, hindered by some willful act of disobedience. God knows what disobedience is. God cannot bless, as I said earlier, but He sure does love obedience, and He'll bless because of it. Maybe there's a wrong friendship, an unequal yoke, a secret sin, some impurity, an unforgiving spirit, or an unwillful or an unfulfilled vow. God help us. Proverbs 28:13 says, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And Psalm 66:18, listen to this. This is so clear, powerful. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Last of all, I've mentioned these six things. I'm not going to repeat them, but was it just something else that hindered you? Down through the years, I've heard other preachers talk about different people and the silly and juvenile things that happen in their lives and gets them out of the house of God. I heard one preacher say they were on their way out anyway. And he's right. I've thought about it a lot. He's right. He's right. Some of you, I don't know if you are or not, don't know, but I believe the Lord wants me to say this. Are you thinking about doing something dumb and stupid? Are you thinking about getting out of church? Are you thinking about stop doing what you know is right? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's a price to pay. There's a consequence. You're God's child. He loves you. He's watching. He knows what we're doing. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're contemplating. By the grace of God and the very best you can, stay in the will of God. Do what God wants you to do. Sometimes things just seem like they're not going your way. Okay, that's life. But all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Turn with me and I'm all finished. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 25. Hebrews 12, verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? Wow. And in John 2:5, he said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And this last statement here. The only life that is glorifying to God, that is pleasing to others, and that is really satisfying to ourselves is the life that is running well, the life that is lived in complete obedience to the truth, to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth, and to His Word, the Word of truth. Lord, help us to do that. What did hinder you? You started out well, but what hindered you?